Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom. This is Late Night in the Word, and this is also Olive Branch Ministries coming to you from Acworth, Georgia. And we want to say shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
This is Pastor Yave and Avery Irvin.
Lalatul.
And we're waiting on Robert Rodriguez, who will join us momentarily. And we are real excited to be on the radio tonight. We're joining you from Blog Talk Radio, currently live, and broadcasting also to www.olivebranchonline.org. For those that want to pick us up on our website, that's /live-radio. If you want to go pick up the feed there, we will be on Blog Talk to the top of the hour, which is midnight Eastern Standard Time in the U.S. And at that point, we will be back broadcasting for another half an hour on the website exclusively. We have a phone number. It is 631-533-4099. You can call, leave a text. Whatever you would prefer, communicate, though. We would love to hear from you. Prayer requests, questions, any kind of thing that you want to bring up to us, we would love to talk and hear what's on your mind tonight. So, of course, our prayers go out to this church in South Carolina tonight, and the murder of a pastor and his people, and just very thoughtful about that in this country. I think it's quite possible we may see more of that kind of activity coming. And so it's good to be prayerful and sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what He's saying. It's a good time to be sober and really consider your steps. Consider your ways. Keep an eye behind you, to the side of you. And make sure you're watching what's going on around you at all times. Today is a day to have a great discernment also. Know the people that are around you. If a young man can come into a church for an entire hour and no one discerns his intentions, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
That was on my heart. Why didn't they discern something was wrong?
Correct. Now, if you understand that this behavior is not just a man, this behavior is the spirit of murder that has been unleashed on the world. And specifically, it's in our country. We know that murder is everywhere. And it is not just the choice of a man. It is a spirit that is leading people and positioning them and pressurizing them in their decision-making. And we need to make sure that we remember Paul's words that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And if you've ever met anybody that has interactions with the spiritual world and knows the demons do, it'd be good to just sit down and listen to what they have to say, because these spirits are very deceptive and they're very, very evil. And we need to be alert at all times in this day and age for the deceptions that they bring, because they are definitely intent on destroying anything and everything that God is trying to build. And in that regard, I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4.
By a stretched out arm and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Unto thee it was shown that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. Out of heaven He made thee to hear His voice, that He might instruct thee upon earth. He showed thee this great fire and thou heard the words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose thee, their seed, after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thy heart, the Lord he is God, in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else.
Now, I think we could stop with that verse, because I'm looking at something. The nature of our program here at Late Night in the Word has been to focus on what is the purpose of salvation and what happens to you when you get saved. And I think one of the things that can be lost in the pursuit of that understanding is the fact that the very first thing that happened to us was that we entered into a heavenly reality of relationship with the living God. And it really is that simple, and it's not any more complex than that. It has become very complex. It has become individualistic, and in the biblical sense, it's not an individualistic covenant. It was a covenant given to Abraham first, and then to everyone that came down through Abraham's line, both the spiritual and the physical. And what you have to keep in mind is the covenant is a relational activity. And so you have Moses writing down here the very heart of God, and he's communicating something in his relationship with the people. And I want to say it again, he's communicating something in his relationship with all of the people. He's communicating, and he's asking you to stop in verse 39, know therefore, know, which implies that you would need to stop and ponder what it is that you are communication with. Ponder who he is. Ponder what he's done. Consider. And consider in the sense that it's going to impact your life relationally with him. And I'm wondering if this is lost for a lot of people. We go through the motions of Christianity because we've been trained to go through those motions of Christianity. The church services and all the things that come with that, and then the culture that has been defined as Christian and that has made all of the allowances it has and yet still calls itself Christian. And so we walk around with this idea, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm cultural. And I think what that has done is it has destroyed our communication with God. As John said, you can't have light and darkness at the same time. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in darkness.
Yep. The climax of everything I read was that last verse.
I agree.
Because up until then, it's just a reminder of what they had seen. But I think the reason Moses is saying it the way that he's saying it, or God through Moses is saying it, is okay, you saw all this, but magnify the fact that I'm God in heaven. And I think that's a key thing. We've been talking about that as we do the other radio program on the Psalms of Ascent, because that is the focus also. We're not just going up to Jerusalem and worshiping God in Jerusalem. We're worshiping God in heaven.
Let's just go read that, because that's a powerful scripture as well. It's Psalm 123:1. In verse 1 and 2. Well, just verse 1. Well, you could also read verse 2. That's good also.
Also, we need to introduce Robert Rodriguez.
It's good to have you in here, Robert.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. It's good to be here.
So Psalm 123, 1 and 2, why don't you read that, Robert?
Unto thee lift I up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy on us.
This is amazing. I mean, where are the eyes going? They're going to the heavens. And in verse 39 of Deuteronomy 4, it says that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. And the emphasis is firstly on the heavens and secondly on the earth. I think that what we have to understand, especially in this modern age, where people really have destroyed God's sovereignty over the earth and over the heavens, and we have a tendency to put him in the heavens only and not on the earth, and then other people say when he came, he was just an earthly man and he didn't have a heavenly reference. Wow. And there's no possible way. He's both. He's the God of the heaven and the earth. And we are people of the heaven and the earth, and that's the beauty of salvation. And I hope you hear this. The beauty of salvation is that you become a being that is of the earth and of the heavens.
Yeah,
You have a physical tabernacle, but the spirit within you is heavenly. And that is important for you to keep in mind for this reason. He is a God of the heavens. And if you're going to relate to him in the heavenly reality as you walk in your physical body, you have to approach him where he is. And you have to know his truth that brings you to that place.
And his apartness in that John 17:3, that he's the only true God, and Jesus Christ is the Son that he sent.
This is such a vital truth. And I think sometimes we're missing. We want to go back to Deuteronomy 4, because the very next verse is something that I believe that we miss out on because of the separation between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, keep in mind, because we're a Hebraic roots ministry, we are not here to turn people into observers of Judaism. We're here to magnify the foundations of the scriptures, and that is the Old Testament. Anybody that studies the New Testament needs to comprehend that every writer of the New Testament spoke Hebrew, grew up in a Jewish culture in Israel and their time. And keep in mind also, they were sitting with rabbis, going to synagogues, and they were studying the prophets, waiting for a Messiah, and they were watching this Jesus. And you either knew he was, or you were against him. And this is how things were operational, building this New Testament. But they were all students of the old. And when you become a student of the old, one of the things that you have to understand is this word Torah, which is the Hebrew word for the scriptures that Moses is writing. And as he's writing, he's giving you the very essence of the heart and mind of God. And so it's accurate to say that the Torah and God are inseparable. And if we know that Jesus, Yeshua is his Hebrew name, if he comes from God, comes from the Father, as he repeatedly made clear in the New Testament to his disciples, I've come from my Father, I only do the will of my Father, I speak only the words of my Father. He told his own parents, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? over and over and over again, he was declaring his solidarity, his connection to his father. If he's one with his father and he is the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14, where it says that he's the Word made flesh, what you find out is the Word is the very example of heavenly life, given to the physical man to manifest the heavens here in the earth. Now, this is powerful. And the reason I know that it's powerful is Genesis chapter 1. It's so powerful when God created light in the third verse of Genesis 1, that activity brought forth the 7 days of creative process that took the earth from a place in the Hebrew called tohu vabohu, which is it had no form and it could bear no fruit. It was formless and void. And because it had no form and it couldn't produce fruit, it was dead. It was dark, and the scripture says there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the first activity that the Spirit does on the earth is come and start to minister, which is what the Spirit does for everybody.
When the light comes forth, it changes the circumstance. You know, I went to another verse because this really, I love this. This made me think of this from 1 and 2 Kings. And it's in chapter 20. It's after there was a time when Ahab repented. And because he repented, he was allowed to fight. The Syrians came up against him, and there was a big defeat. The Israelis beat the Syrians. And then they went home, and their prophet said to them, well, it's only because, you know, their Lord, he's the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valley. So next time we'll fight him on the plain, and we'll defeat them. But it says in verse 27, and the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before the like two little flocks of kids, but the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God in verse 28 and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
This is such an important thing that God keeps saying. You're going to know I'm God. You're going to know I'm Lord.
Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. He's one Lord.
One Lord.
And he's in heaven.
And he's on the earth.
And he will be who he will be. Echei Sher Echei.
And I don't know why, but I have a very hard push in me to exalt that tonight, because I think the Lord is looking for people who will worship him in the fullness of his name and understand relationally that he's asking not for the strictness of observance. He's asking for people to be single-hearted with him. He's asking for people who are willing to turn away from this world, even though you live here, even though you relate here, even though your eyes are solidly fixed here. You're willing to allow the Holy Spirit of God to move upon you and draw your eyes and draw your mind and draw your heart away from the magnetism of this place so that you can now be magnetized to his words. Now, if I go down to Deuteronomy 5, now here's what starts to happen. Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord your God made a covenant with us in Horeb. And the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive today. Now, this is important. This is a very key statement Moses is making, because if you're looking back, sometimes there can be separation. Okay, you made the agreement with Abraham and you made it with Isaac and Jacob, but you know, that's 400 years ago. Are you really here to work with us? And Moses is saying, yes, God came down on the mountain and he performed what he performed for your sake, not just for Abraham's sake, for your sake as well. And he put the agreement together for your sake, not just for Abraham's sake as well. And that makes it very key to us currently. And that's what I also want to introduce to you as well. God is the God of yesterday and today and tomorrow. And these covenants have